Thank you, Jonga, and blessing. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Friday, April 1st, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande. Here are our top stories this evening. Zimbabwe's security organ, the Joint Operations Command, urges the MDCT to postpone a planned protest over missing $15 billion diamond proceeds money.
We made it clear to JOC that we can only call off this demonstration if the government shows us where the $15 billion is, and also if the government shows us the 2 million jobs.
A Zimbabwean think tank says ZANU-PF facing an internal strife is now so weak that it's likely to lose the next elections.
Our major argument in this report is that the greatest threat to ZANU rule is ZANU itself.
And Zimbabwe gives foreign-owned companies another chance to transfer majority shares to local people before shutting them down.
Those that have not complied, really, the process of law requires that the relevant line minister has to notify them that they are non-compliant.
Please do stand by for these stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned. The supreme organ for the coordination of security in the country, the Joint Operations Command, or JOC, today summoned the opposition MDCT and asked it to postpone a proposed march against the alleged disappearance of $15 billion in potential diamond revenue from government coffers set for next Thursday. The JOC says the march will clash with a top-level meeting to be attended by President Robert Mugabe and war veterans. The MDCT says it wants to hold a march to protest against the disappearance of the money and from mining of diamonds and the general deterioration of the economic situation caused by what the party says is corruption. We spoke to the party's Secretary General Douglas Monzora, who says the protest has now been penciled for the 14th of this month in Harare.
We said that we are going to have our march, but we will agree to postpone our march to the 14th of April because we don't want to give them an excuse of anything.
They have assured you that they are not going to disrupt this march?
Well, so far they've said that they will not disrupt the march on the 14th, but we have also emphasized to them that we expect them to behave, we expect them to honor the rights of the Zimbabweans, and that we will not be afraid of confronting anyone if they try to stop us on the day that we have agreed.
Now, can you tell us how this march is going to go about, who is going to be involved, and so on?
This is a march by the MDC, but we are also inviting other sister political parties, the civic organizations, and any members of the Zimbabwean society who want to express their displeasure about poverty. And we made it clear to JOC that we can only call off this demonstration if the government shows us where the $15 billion is, and also if the government shows us the 2 million jobs.
That was Douglas Monzora, MDCT Secretary General. He spoke to Studio 7 on the line from Harare. Meanwhile, Monzora was supposed to appear in court today to answer charges of obstruction of justice after he questioned police for demanding to see the identity particulars of his boss, Morgan Tsvangirai, at the Harare High Court earlier this week. A local think tank, the Zimbabwe Democracy Institute, or ZDI, has released a report indicating factionalism, not the opposition or international pressure, will ultimately lead to the demise of the ruling ZANU-PF party. In the report titled Elite Discohesion and Authoritarian Erosion, ZANU-PF on the Precipice, ZDI argues that the warring parties in the ruling ZANU-PF party appear determined to decimate each other, leaving the political party severely weakened than at any point since its formation in 1963. The group also says the entry of First Lady Grace into mainstream ZANU-PF politics in 2014 arguably heralded what ZDI says is the summit of elite discohesion and fissures in all organs of the party, including the Women's League that she leads. The report says alleged factional wars between the Grace Mugabe-leaning Generation 40 and the Tim Lacoste-backing Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa has worsened the crisis. The ZDI says a lack of succession framework and President Robert Mugabe's advanced age are now a cause for serious concern. The report notes that Mr. Mugabe is now losing control of the party, and this is reflected in factional fights involving war veterans, youth, women, and the securocrats. ZDI Director Pedzisai Ruhanya tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that with the level of infighting, ZANU-PF will lose the next elections to the opposition.
Our major argument in this report is that the greatest threat to ZANU rule is ZANU itself. The problems that are taking place within the party and lack of consensus among the top leadership, and also lack of consensus in the grassroots structures that are seen in the expulsions, suspensions, and constant infighting. The story of ZANU is the story of the day, every day in Zimbabwe. We think that the weakening of the party internally will ultimately see the demise of ZANU at the national level. So ZANU is a threat to itself because of internal discohesion and authoritarian erosion of the leader himself. And fundamentally, the entry into politics of First Lady Grace Mugabe has popularized the politics of defense. When she moves around the country and with the television and radio live broadcast to insult people, to attack party people, to show disrespect for party structure, party institutions, what it tells us is that there is no longer order.
But Dr. Ruhanya, your critics might say this is not the first time there's been internal fights in ZANU-PF. It goes back to the Liberation War.
But if you look at the struggles in ZANU, there was never a situation where ZANU suspended its people in the manner that they've done. Suspending 9 provincial chairpersons and suspending a sitting vice president, it has never happened.
And that was Zimbabwe Democracy Institute Director Pedzisai Ruhanya speaking there with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare. Indigenization and Economic Empowerment Minister Patrick Juao says companies that have failed to comply with the government directive to submit indigenization plans will be given another chance before their licenses are revoked. The deadline to submit the plans was yesterday. The country wants foreign-owned firms to transfer majority stakes to local people. Juao, though, said many companies had submitted plans to the National Indigenization and Economic Empowerment Board. The minister tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that he is satisfied with the response.
One thing that has emerged is that there has been a huge response by people that are seeking to ensure that they are complying with the law. I visited the National Indigenization and Economic Empowerment Board offices earlier on. And over the past couple of weeks, they've really been working flat out, in some instances getting to the office as early as 6 o'clock, and in some instances getting out of the office as late as 10 o'clock to be able to address all of the requirements. So they still have a significant number of applications that they have received that they still have to process.
What will happen to those who have not complied?
Those that have not complied, really, the process of law requires that the relevant line minister is to notify them that they are non-compliant and request them to show good cause as to why they are non-compliant. Should they not show good cause as to why they are non-compliant, the minister will then request them to comply. Should they fail to comply, the minister will then notify third parties that intention of cancelling their licenses and proceed only to direct the licensing authority to cancel their licenses. It's purely a technical process which is defined at law.
That was Patrick Zhuwao, Zimbabwe's Indigenization Minister, speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare. Meanwhile, the opposition MDCT has called on the government to abandon the program, saying the law is affecting economic growth. In a statement, the MDCT said the immediate effect of these statements and threats has been to halt all new investment by all targeted firms, whether locally or foreign-owned. At the same time, business executives have described as scaring Zimbabwe's threat to shut down foreign-based companies not complying with the Black Economic Empowerment Law. Our correspondent Patricia Mudadigwa reports from Harare.
Indigenization Minister Patrick Zhuwao has been breathing fire over some companies failing to comply with the Black Economic Empowerment Law, which forces those valued at more than 500,000 to transfer 51% shares to locals. But according to The Source, an independently owned news entity, the minister says it is a bit difficult for a nation to shut down companies that are registered abroad. He is now proposing to re-engage company executives through line ministries that are expected to submit indigenization plans to his ministry about progress in complying with the law. Executives who spoke to Studio 7 said threats being made by the government to shut down their companies if they do not follow the law are counterproductive, as Zimbabwe is currently attempting to court international finance institutions to give it loans for resuscitating the ailing economy. Self-confessed President Robert Mugabe supporter, Reverend Obadiah Msindo, who is also director of Destiny for Africa Network, say the government is getting it all wrong.
I don't fully agree with the idea of the closure of companies. I would advise the Minister of Indigenization to use a different approach. Given the situation where we are in, think of the employees. We have serious high rate of unemployment in this country. I think if it is the decision of the cabinet, there is a need for them to review their position concerning the existing companies. What we need right now more, we need more jobs for the young people. And the companies that are already in existence surely cannot be tampered with. There is a lot, and there is a better way of solving this thing.
Musindo's views were echoed by John Mofukare, Executive Director of the Employers Confederation of Zimbabwe. He said most company executives are currently in a state of shock.
Get to the point now where people are just in a state of shock. And at this moment, I don't see too much panic around, because I think people have now just taken the attitude that what will be, will be. If we are going to be closed down, then we will be closed down. If anything else is going to happen, then just let it be. So people have gone beyond panicking. They are just passive now, just accepting their fate, whatever that fate is going to be.
Mufukare said implementing an indigenization compliance deadline is disastrous for Zimbabwe, adding that government should not have aborted the engagement process with companies. Ben Frith, a member of the Commercial Farmers Union of Zimbabwe, said it was possible that Zimbabwe would take the drastic measures to shut down the companies that have failed to comply, as has been the case on white commercial farms since 2000.
We don't know what's going to happen on the 1st of April. There's obviously a lot of talk about anyone who is not fully indigenized, they're going to come and close everyone down. We've seen it happen with the farms. We believe that it could never happen the way it's happened on the farms, where the law is just disregarded, where they just chase everyone off, where they put people in jail for committing the crime of farming. We believe that could not happen in a country, you know. But it happened, you know. So we don't know what's going to happen on the 1st of April. We know what's happened in the past, and we know that anything can happen, you know.
However, Dr. Shingi Munyeza, a businessman, said indications are that a lot of companies have submitted their plans to the National Indigenization and Economic Empowerment Board. He believes this process is not retrogressive.
Well, a lot of people have been submitting their their returns to NIB. And NIB has come out to say, look, they will consider all and make sure that everybody else is processed properly. So we take the cue from NIB. I am confident and hopeful that we will not be retrogressive in implementing indigenization.
On Wednesday, Shuao told an indigenization workshop in Harare that all companies that have not complied with the law risk being shut down. Shuao said any job losses would be blamed on what he called irresponsible directors who failed to follow the country's Black Economic Empowerment Program. The Zimbabwe Investment Authority could not be reached for comment. Reports say at least 35 companies have so far submitted their indigenization plans following threats by the government to forcibly shut down non-complying firms. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Patricia Mdadigwa.
Hello, Zimbabwe. This month we are commemorating Zimbabwe's 36th independence anniversary. We come together to overcome the little trouble. The 18th of April, 1980. What are your memories of that moment? And what about 36 years later? Share your thoughts with us by sending us a voice recording on our WhatsApp number 001-202-465-0318. The number again is 001-202-465-0318. We are also on Facebook and Twitter.
Coming up, a closer look at peace and reconciliation in Zimbabwe. And Thomas Mafumo promises to release scorching hits. But first, we take a look at regional and international news. U.S. President Barack Obama said today the Iran nuclear deal had achieved a substantial success and focused on the dangers of nuclear proliferation in a real way. And Uganda's court yesterday upheld the re-election of President Yoweri Museveni in the February 18th national poll. The court rejected a petition brought by former Prime Minister and presidential candidate Amama Mbabazi. Some Zimbabweans say the National Peace and Reconciliation Commission appears to be toothless as local people are not yet ready for healing and reconciliation. They say the commission looks ineffective in promoting healing, peace and reconciliation in the nation. Our correspondent Patricia Mudadigwa reports from Harare.
Louder than that? Louder than that?
Some Harare residents who attended a meeting convened by Heal Zimbabwe Trust, a non-governmental organization focusing on victims of political violence, said the commission also appears to be pro-government as commissioners are appointed by the state. One of the participants, Chitungwiza resident Mejuri Marunda, said the commission cannot promote national healing in Zimbabwe if perpetrators of violence have not apologized to their victims.
We are not yet ready to do this because we cannot forgive you. We are hurt. Those who caused this, they must be ready to apologize. So if they don't apologize, how can they be forgiven? No, the commission is rubbish. It's not going to do anything. As long as Robert Mugabe is in the president's office, there's nothing good about that. Nothing is going to come to help the people.
A victim of political violence, Barmain Musekiwa said there will not be any national healing as long as ZANU-PF is still in power.
The president in the first place was leading this perpetration, and now is claiming to lead also the peace and reconciliation. So it's not ready. It can't be done that the same person who was a perpetrator and he turns now, he can say, I will lead the peace and reconciliation.
Kudakwashe Matambo, Communications Programs Assistant with the Jesuits Province of Zimbabwe in Mozambique, urged government to listen to the needs of the people in order to promote national healing and reconciliation.
Zimbabweans may not be ready at the moment, but what makes people ready is the willingness to effect whatever bill, whatever document, whatever efforts are made to attain healing. Because what constitutes healing in this era is the willingness of the people and the willingness of the leaders to listen to the people's concerns. Leaders' concerns alone cannot heal Zimbabwe. And what's important now is to look at the bill, is to look at the commission and what the people are saying, what the people's concerns are on this commission. Because without that, Zimbabwe will not go anyway. Because with the people, with the leadership mindset, what the bill can be useless if the leaders are not willing to listen to the people.
Some participants echo the same sentiments, though noting that the perpetrators of violence need to be identified and asked to apologize to victims if there has to be peace, healing and reconciliation in Zimbabwe. The commissioners have already been appointed, and former Speaker of Parliament, Cyril Ndebele, leads the commission. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Patricia Mdadigwa.
Thanks, Patricia. We will air a second part of this story on peace, healing and reconciliation in Zimbabwe in our bulletin tomorrow. Don't miss it right here on Studio 7.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Radovan Karadzic, also known as the Butcher of Bosnia, was sentenced March 24th to 40 years in prison for genocide and other crimes against humanity by the International Criminal Tribunal for the Former Yugoslavia Court in The Hague, Netherlands. The former leader of the breakaway Serbian Republic of Bosnia-Herzegovina was found guilty of murder, persecution, forcible transfer, terror and hostage-taking during the Bosnian War from 1992 to 1995, a conflict that's estimated to have taken more than 100,000 lives. Delivering the verdicts, presiding Judge Ogan Kwan said Karadzic had ordered detained Bosnian Muslim men from Srebrenica to be transferred for killing. It was part of a brutal campaign against Bosnian Muslims that came to be known as ethnic cleansing. In a statement issued March 24th, U.S. State Department Deputy Spokesperson Mark Toner noted, "With the trial chamber's conviction, we move one step closer to closing another painful chapter in the story of the conflict in the former Yugoslavia. We'll never forget the horrors of genocide in Bosnia or the many other crimes committed on all sides of the conflict in the former Yugoslavia. Nor will we ever stop honoring their victims and survivors. We urge the members of the international community to cooperate with the ICTY and respect its decisions."
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
And in sports news, after a five-month break, the eight-month Castle Lager Premier Soccer League roars into life this weekend in what promises to be a period of exciting football. Reporter Michael Cariati previews the soccer season.
Most of the clubs have been busy on the transfer market, and others like Dynamos and Islanders have hired foreign coaches, all with the dream of winning Zimbabwe's biggest football competition. Fans, however, would not have wanted a far much better start to the season than a game between defending champions Chicken Inn and last season's runners-up Dynamos at Baba Field Stadium Saturday. Chicken Inn made a bold statement of their intention to retain their title with a gutsy performance against South African giants Mamelodi Sundowns before losing the Cup Champions League show 2-1 on aggregate. On the premise of that display, the Gamecocks start off as favorites against a team whose pedigree has not yet been fully tested. More importantly is the fact that Dynamos are starting afresh following the arrival of new Portuguese coach Jorge Silva, who replaced Tolerante Raya at the end of last season. However, club chairman Kenny Mbaiwa has warned Silva that he will also be fired if he fails to deliver in the first four games of the season.
Our aim is to lift the championship, but it depends on the coach whether he's going to deliver. If he doesn't deliver, our coach at Dynamos is we don't keep with fire.
The game between the Gamecocks and Dimbare is unquestionably the highlight of the start of the season, but elsewhere, New Boys Border Strikers make the long trip to Kariba to face Sunday Chidzambwa ZPC. Chidzambwa has now settled well in Kariba after years in South Africa, and the former national team coach says he wants to win all honours on offer this season.
You can, in football, you may win, lose or draw, but I would love to win as many honours as I can.
There are other matches on Saturday, with last season's third place team FC Platinum hosting Cholocho Pirates, while the game between New Boys Mtare City and Ngezi Platinum Stars is waiting for ground confirmation. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Kariati.
Thanks, Michael. This evening we feature Chimurenga music guru Thomas Mafumo, who is currently in the studio crafting what he calls one of his best compilations. He speaks to Studio 7's Gibbs Dube about this and other issues.
I'm in the studio. We are actually recording a new CD.
What is the title of the CD?
We don't have a title yet. We are still working on it.
What could be the likely focus of the CD?
It's all about, the problems that the world is, facing today.
You are including Zimbabwe, right?
That's right.
What exactly on Zimbabwe can we expect?
I think we are all losing hope about Zimbabwe, because, as you know, people are still suffering, and our story is just a very, very sad story.
When do we expect that CD to be out?
We are still promoting Danger Zone, but as soon as we finish, we'll maybe take a little bit of time and then we'll release it.
How did Danger Zone go into the market?
A lot of people like Danger Zone, and I think it's been all over the place, like in Japan or even in Europe. We managed to sell a lot of copies there.
And, when it comes to music, what inspires you, really?
I'm just a musician. I love music, and I'm a songwriter. And I love writing, songs. And I'm always thinking about, new songs. Yeah.
Brilliant. So let's come to politics. When are you going back to Zimbabwe?
I don't really know. I want to go to Zimbabwe and play.
That was Thomas Tafirenyika Mkanya Hurricane Hugo Gandanga Mafumo, Zimbabwe's Chimurenga music guru, speaking there with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube. And before we go, remember to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk today, when our hosts will be talking with listeners and experts about the health sector. And the headlines today: Zimbabwean think tank says ZANU-PF facing an internal strife is now so weak that it's likely to lose the next elections. And Zimbabwe gives foreign owned companies another chance to transfer majority shares to local people before shutting them down. That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Ntungameli Nkomo. This is Chris Kande. I hope no one fooled you today, April Fool's Day. Good night, Zimbabwe.